sure everything is right. Keep their eyes on the orange flame that will come from the tail of the V-2 as she moves slowly, a bit erratically, off the ground. And they listen to a receiver that is bringing back to the blockhouse a signal they have sent to the rocket. Now the V-2 is ready. Listen to the rocket's recorded sound on the ground, and then the signal that the rocket is starting to rise. We're really traveling now, thousands of feet a second, and we're going to go a lot faster. In the first 45 seconds of this flight, the giant V-2 did most of its job, carried the WAC Corporal to 40,000 feet. It takes our big bombers at least 30 minutes to get this high. After 1 minute, the V-2 has done its whole job, spent its fuel, and the daughter part of the combination takes off alone, under her own power for greater speed and greater height. More than 2 minutes have passed. The little rocket, the WAC Corporal, is propelling herself upward. But she, too, begins to lose fuel. And when she does, her momentum carries her along. She coasts. We have now reached maximum speed, but we're still going up. The power of our start will carry us to 250 miles. We're more than 100 miles high right now, going almost straight up, but not quite. Because the experts down below don't want to take any chance of having their experimental baby fall back on their head. The speed of the rocket is indicated to the experts in the blockhouse down below by the tone you hear. The tone begins to drop. So does the speed. 5.5 minutes after the rocket has left the ground, she attains the speed of 5,000 miles an hour. If an airplane could go that fast, you could leave New York, fly to the West Coast for a quick hello, and fly back within 1 hour. But the rocket, she's still going up, although at a slower pace. Now we're coming to the end of one part of the rocket flight. In a few seconds, the upward motion of the rocket will have stopped. It will have reached a height of 250 miles, as high as the distance from Detroit to Buffalo. Now we're at the top of the flight. The rocket slowly reaches its crest and lazily starts downward. Like a motorist at a strange crossroad, the WAC Corporal seems to be having trouble deciding which way to go. But the force of gravity is the traffic cop up there at 250 miles. The rocket tumbles and tumbles and finally picks her straight course. She's headed for a point 80 miles distant on the ground from where she started, picking up speed as she goes. If this were a weapon of war instead of an experimental rocket, used by our scientists the better to understand the weapons of war, the force and speed and explosive power of the rocket would be aiming directly at an enemy city and coming down fast. For rockets, it takes longer to get down than it does to get up. The V-2 and the WAC Corporal both used their own power to climb. Now, there is no power but the power of gravity pulling the rocket down. And as it approaches the Earth, there are other factors that prevent an increase in its speed. Back under that 14-foot concrete roof at White Sands, the experts notice what you hear now, a reduction in the pitch of the sound signal. The mathematicians have it all worked out with the theory and the figures. We know it's coming down close to its mythical target. The tone has ended, and the flight has ended. You hear no sound because the crash of the rocket has destroyed the gadget which reflected the radio signal that rocket experts had been sending out. Now comes the time for checking and learning and planning improvements. This record-breaking flight, 250 miles from the Earth's surface, The greatest announced height ever reached by a man-made object is but another experiment in the armed forces behind-the-scenes planning to make America strong. Out in another part of the West, another experiment was conducted by the armed forces. This one, a defensive one, to determine just how certain buildings and steel and concrete react to massive explosions. At Dugway, Utah, in a condemned area, Army engineers set off the largest non-atomic explosion in history. More than 320,000 pounds of TNT were set off.
We are now standing by the shortwave truck waiting for the...
13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13,
several seconds before they hear it.
A huge mushroom of black smoke and dust and clay. Clay which has been baked here in the sun of Dugway Valley at Dugway Proving Grounds for the last 3 weeks under a hot sun.
But of all the strange sounds that we recorded in the news this week, perhaps the strangest was this.
Relaxing, more relaxing, more relaxing, more relaxing, more.
You are listening to the voice of Dr. Ernst Schmidhofer, chief psychiatrist of the Veterans Administration Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Schmidhofer has spent many years grappling with the problem of combat veterans whose nightmares will not let them sleep. Last week, he reported to a medical convention on his new sleep program for the battle-weary GIs. Dr. Schmidhofer broadcasts a long, monotonous recording of his voice all night long throughout the sleep wards of his hospital. Instead of keeping the men awake, as might be supposed, Dr. Schmidhofer claims considerable success in lulling his patients to sleep. Furthermore, he says that these men don't lose their newfound ability once they leave the hospital. Here is a brief sampling of Dr. Schmidhofer's sleep program.
I can rid myself of any symptoms completely and in less than a minute. I can rid myself of any symptoms completely and in less than a minute. I can rid myself of any symptoms completely and in less than a minute. Pay attention, pay attention. I'm not overly dependent on medicines or doctors. I'm not overly dependent on medicines or doctors.
Dr. Schmidhofer makes it clear that this is an experimental program and by no means a cure-all.
My statements, conclusions, and implications are the result of my own studies and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or policies of the Veterans Administration. You see, its stand is one of wholesome scrutiny. And I am very pleased that it has given me the opportunity and the privilege of extending these observations.
A man who called himself a peddler and a salesman, and who once caused a considerable emotional explosion, was on the road this week and stopped off in Cleveland to help sell his book to the National Association of Book Dealers. Edward, Duke of Windsor.
For I, too, have done a bit of selling. As a matter of fact, I have spent a good many years on the road myself. And the 146,000 odd miles I traveled on Imperial missions would not compare unfavorably with the total mileage of any other salesman or woman here today. While furthering Imperial interests may seem far removed from retailing, I maintain that selling is selling, whether it is selling a book from a sample case or an empire from a battle cruiser. For in the end, the art of selling comes down to knowing the customer and what he wants. and whether he likes it or not. The sooner every salesman learns the old rule that the customer is always right, the better off he is. But we all know there is a good deal more to salesmanship than can be expressed in any formula, even so basic a one as this old jingle. He who whispers down a well about the wares he has to sell will never reap the golden dollars like him who shows them round and hollers.
And a personal word from the Duke, who helps to write and also reads the gossip
now,
columns.
One final thought in what I have to say to you today. While a king's story is strictly non-fiction, I do believe that as far as its last chapters are concerned, it is, in a personal sense, a romance. And speaking for the lovely and wonderful lady to whom the book is dedicated, and for myself, I only wish that I had thought to add the old familiar ending of all romances, and they live happily ever after.
There was another kind of prince looking for a job, but this one was on Broadway, and there were 73 of them. This is Richard Rodgers of the highly successful team of Rodgers and Hammerstein, which produced South Pacific and Oklahoma, auditioning for a new boy prince for their current hit musical, The King and I. A musical version of Anna and the King of Siam. One of the leads is the part of Crown Prince Chulalongkorn. Longhorn. The current prince is leaving for Hollywood, and so difficult was the business of finding a new prince that the Rodgers and Hammerstein press agent resorted to an ad in the New York papers.
Wanted, Crown Prince of Siam, for the musical smash, The King and I. Preferably of Oriental appearance, must be able to sing and act. Age 12 to 15. Height, 5 feet to 5 feet 6 inches. Apply at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, May 22, at the stage door of the St. James Theater, 44th Street, west of Broadway.
One of our reporters went by the theater to see the turnout. There were 73, and they were of every shape, size, and color. We recorded some of the sounds. The winner and new prince, Jackie Collins of Brooklyn and now of Siam.
Prince Chulalongkorn, Jackie Collins, 375 61st Street, Brooklyn, New York. Number four finalist. Then they told us that I got it. I felt very, very excited indeed.
We are about to take you to a dusty, battered, beat-up brick building, bomb-scarred and windowless, in the Korean city of Seoul. You will hear at first hand a military operation that is uniquely American. For some reason, American troops, whether it be in Africa, Italy, France, Germany, Britain, or Korea, cannot resist kids. They adopt as individuals or as units those slow, smiling, trusting youngsters who are part of the human wreckage left in the wake of war. We don't know why it is that American troops do this more than the troops of other nations, but they do. Some few million of you may remember the phrases, any gum, chum, cigarette for papa, chocolate, or no mama, no papa, no per diem.